So, last week we read 318, and we mentioned that there were two more major discussions that I wanted to see together with you on Hashgacha in the Manvuchim, his discussion of Eov, and then 351. However, we're going to take a detour and learn something tonight from Shmona Prakin. And the reason is, really, has to do with an email that I got from someone named Levi Yitzchak Goldman. I don't know who he is, meaning I've never met him in person. I don't know if anyone knows him, but he sent me a
question.
I don't know. I have no idea where he lives. He sent me emails on Shiurim I've given, and they're oftentimes very incisive. And he sent a question, or a suggestion, I guess, about a question I raised in the Shiur about the Ramban's view on Hashgacha, which made me realize that there's an aspect of the Rambam that we really need to address. Maybe we could even call it the elephant in the room. It's the Ramban's objection to the Rambam's take on Hashgacha. And we actually did allude to this last week and in previous weeks, but I think he made me appreciate that we really need to focus on it, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight. And the question is as follows. The Ramban, interestingly enough, says two seemingly contradictory points about the Ramban's take on Hashgacha. In one place, in his commentary on Eov, he more or less copies, he attributes it, but he adopts many of the Rambam's ideas on Hashgacha, including the idea that tzaddikim have more Hashgacha and that other people are relegated to teva and as such can even suffer undeservedly. So he accepts the ideas of the Rambam. But elsewhere, in particular, the Drashas Tarsa Shem Tanima, the Ramban treats the Rambam's perspective on Hashgacha very harshly. And he critiques him. And the question is, why? Because if the Ramban also agrees to this idea, the central idea that we've seen in the Rambam, that Hashgacha is not for everybody, there's such a thing as Teva, Tzadikim have it, others don't. So why does he so harshly critique the Rambam? And the answer is, and this is what Levi Yitzchak sort of made me fully appreciate, is that his lashon is that the Rambam is memay nisim and magbir teva. What does that mean? So, to understand what we mean and what his objection is, we're going to look at two places. The first is Shmona Prakim, Parak Shmini. Shmona Prakim is the Rambam's introduction to his commentary to Pirkei Avos. And like the name indicates, it's 8 chapters long. And we're going to read about how he deals with Nisim. Again, we actually did refer to this a couple weeks ago. And then also from the Moron Ruchim, primarily a 329, though I also gave you 328. And essentially, what we're going to see is that the Rambam seems to minimize Nisim. So he doesn't deny Nisim, but he basically has two approaches to Nisim. The question that the Rambam is grappling with, again, we have discussed this already, is if Hashem made nature and built a system of nature, then the need to tweak it, to break the laws of nature, indicates a flaw in the system. How could that be? And the two approaches that the Rambam takes, the first one, we'll see in Shmona Prakim, is basically that Nisim are built into Briyasa Olam. And the second one is that they're temporary aberrations. That's the approach he adopts in the Moren Vuchim. And what the Ramban seems to be troubled by, though he doesn't really elaborate, is that the Torah promises all sorts of things. Like, for example, if you're righteous, there'll be rain and dew. We certainly believe in the notion that if you daven, that makes a difference. If someone eats truma b'mezit, they're chayav misa b'dei shamayim. None of these seem to work within the Rambam system. How do we explain them? You can't really say that's built into nature, unless you say it is, but it's not like the Pi Ha'ason. And if you could, it's a little easier for the approach he takes in the Marnevuchim that allows for temporary changes, but these are pretty significant changes. So the Ramban says that the Rambam the Rambam system doesn't seem to account for that. So we need to address that question. And we're going to read what the Rambam writes. I don't think the Rambam here actually explicitly addresses this question, but maybe he does implicitly. And then he also pointed out to me, but I didn't have a chance to read it yet. I just printed it. So we could look at it together, I hope. A piece from Rav Shelat's Bi'ur to Hakdamas Rambam. Rav Shelat is one of the great experts in the Rambam's thought. I didn't even make copies of it for you, though I wish I had. But as I said, I just printed this a couple minutes ago. And it is on from the Hakdamas Rambam, starting on page Kuf Samach Zayin at the bottom. And he has this essay, pretty short, really just two pages, in which it shows how the Rambam does address this question, but I haven't seen his answer, so we're going to look at it together. But
first, how does something built into nature when it's inherently anti-nature?
Well, let's see what he says.
Okay, that's
what
I'm going
to say. Let's give him a chance. So the beginning of this parak I put in very small print, as you can see, because it's not really Nogea Lanu, so we're not going to read it together. But the Rambam here is dealing with the issue of free will. As we already saw from Marnevuchim 3:17, this question of free will and Hashgacha are very much related. And that's why it's in this context of the parak that's discussing free will that he brings up this question of Nisan. So we're going to start on page 2. And again, I think we're just going to read it in English. I don't even know what this translation is from. I got it from Safaria. The Hebrew is also translation. I'm not even sure which is the Hebrew translation, but for purposes of speed, we'll just do it this way. But feel free to follow along in Hebrew. As regards the theory generally accepted by people, and likewise found in rabbinical and prophetical writings, that man sitting and rising and all his movements are governed by the will and desire of God, it may be said that this is only true in one respect. For instance, when a stone is thrown into the air and falls to the ground, it is correct to say that the stone fell in accordance with the will of God. For it is true that God decreed that the earth and all that goes to it, make it up, should be the center of attraction, so that when any part of it is thrown into the air, it is attracted back to the center. Gravity, in other words. So is it accurate to say that, to use Newton's example, that the apple falls, that's God's will? The answer, he says, is, well, yes and no. It sort of depends on how we define the terms. So it's God's will in the sense that God created the laws of gravity. Similarly, all the particles of fire ascend according to God's will, which preordained that fire should go upward. But it is wrong to suppose that when a certain part of the earth is thrown upward, God wills it at that very moment that it should fall. In other words, it's not the pshat that every time the apple falls, God wills it to fall. Rather, God created the laws of nature, the rules of gravity, and that's what causes the apple to fall from the tree. Now, that's true with respect to apples and clods of earth being thrown. What does that have to do with human behavior? So he writes that, going back to the first sentence, that man sitting and rising, and in fact all of his movements, are governed by the will of God. So, sitting and standing, I assume, is actually an act of free will. And so I think what he's saying, and this is an idea that he actually spells out very explicitly in Hilchos Tshuva Parakei as well, the Rambam over there asks the question, if we have free will, does that mean that it's not really the will of God? And his answer is, well, it's the will of God that we have free will. So, yes and no. Is it the will of God even to say, this relates back to our Seir Lazazel discussion, though the Rambam might be taking a different approach. Is it the will of God that I sin? Well, in a certain sense, yes, because God willed me to have free will, and therefore part of free will is that I'm going to not always do the right thing. So that's what he's saying. Okay, next paragraph. The Mutakalimun, remember them, are, however, of a different opinion in this regard, for I have heard them say that the divine will is constantly at work. So this is actually just what we saw in Martin Fulham 3:17, decreeing everything from time to time. So there, they believe that everything is divine will. We do not agree with them, but believe that the divine will ordained everything at creation, and that all things at all times are regulated by the laws of nature. Now, we have to look at the sentence. All things at all times. What does that mean? We'll have to figure out that. Read that very carefully. Let's just look at the Hebrew. V'sheyimshechu hadvarim kulam al tivam tamid. So all things at all times are regulated by the law of nature and run their natural course in accordance with what Shlomo said. Masha yahu sheyhiye, masha nasa hu sheyase, v'ein kol chadash tachas hashamesh. Now, of course, this implies that there's no such thing as miracles, says the Rambam. So just as we say that why the apple fell from the tree, that was God's will insofar as he created the laws of nature, b'sheshes may b'reishes, well, so too, when it comes to miracles. So we think this is something new. We think that when the sea split, that was something new. No, in fact, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masna with teva from sheishes yimei bereishes. And as we'll see, the Rambam points out both here and actually in the Maran Avuchim as well, that there's a lot of evidence to this idea in Chazal. That's what Chazal meant. Right, well, what does it mean when Chazal say Hashem was masna with mice gracious that the sea would split? Answer is that this is built into the system. So just like the apple falling is built into the system, so too is this. That's what Chazal meant when they say Olam Kamin Hago Noheg. V'timtza'im, and he's referring here to a Medrash Kohelas that says the same thing. V'timtza'im tamid b'chol divrehem aleim ha'shalom borchim mitei saraton ba'davar achar davar uve'es achar es. Right? So Chazal always tried to avoid saying that something reflect a new ratzon of Hashem. V'alzat tzad yomar v'adam k'shiyakum v'yeshev sh'b'ratzon Hashem kam v'yashav. Ratzalom ar shehusa b'tiva v'tchilas v'yas ha'adam Shiyakum the Yeshev Yevchilasa. So it's Ratzon Hashem insofar as God created people with the teva that they can sit and stand freely. Ki lo hu ratzata be'es kumo shiyakum o shelo yakum kimo shelo ratzata benefilas da'aven shetipo o shelo tipo. So there's no difference between the stone falling and acts that are carried out by man's free will. Now, it's sort of interesting. We said before, you know, how do we explain tefillah, for example, according to this? So there's an idea that you see in a number of Sharm. I don't know if the Rambam subscribes to it. We'll have to think about that. But that tefillah was also built into the system, namely that tefillah be effective. In which case, one could argue, and in fact, some of the Mefarshim talk about that on the Rashi Kilohim Tir, in the first parak of Bereishis, I guess second parak of Bereishis actually. Is that going to be the Rambam's answer? We'll have to keep on thinking. V'klal ha'inyan shetamin ki kemo sheratza Hashem sheyihiyah adam nitzav hakoma Rachav HaChazer, Baal Etzbaos, Kein Ratshash Ishnaweya V'yanuach Me'atzmo. So just like God wanted us to have five fingers, he also wanted us to be able to move when we wish to move. V'yaseh pulos b'chiraso, Ein machriach lo alehem. V'lo monea lo mehem. Kemoshis b'er b'torah ha'amites v'amra v'eres zeh ha'inyan. Hein ha'adam ayak echad mimenu l'adas tovara. V'kvar v'yer ha'targum ha'peirash ha'ratzon bo mimenu l'adas tovara v'atzalomar shehu haya echad ba'olam v'atzalomar min she'en kamoso min acher. So when it says hein haya ha'adam ke'achad mimenu, it means that man is unique in all of creation. Shitatefi mo bezeh ha'inyan asher nimsalo umahu shimseihu uminafsho yeda tovara, that he alone is yodea tovara v'yaseh zemehem shiyirtza. He's going to know what's right and wrong and choose really which one to do. Vein moneh lo mehem. Rambam again repeats this idea in Hilchos Tshuva. He actually gives a different pshat in the pasuk umar nevuchim. V'achar shehu kein efshe sheyishlach yado v'yikach mizeh v'achal v'chayev yalom. V'achar shehischayev zeh b'metzias adam ratzal lomar sheyaseh b'chiraso pu'ulos hatov v'ra kasher yirtza. Hischayev ulamdo darchei hatov v'yishtzaveihu v'yazhirehu v'yanishehu yigmalehu v'haya kol zeh yosha v'ra'ui. So since man could choose freely, so it was necessary that he be rewarded and punished, etc. V'ra'ui lo sheyargil atzmo pu'ulos hatovos, and memela he should habituate himself to doing good acts. Ad shiyalo hamaylos. Yisrachek mena pulos haros. Ad shiyasru mimenu hapchisios imheim nimtzeus mo. That's why we have mitzvos and averos, because they habituate us in good behavior, make us good people, and keep us away from being bad people. V'lo yomar shein binyan sheinam yicholos lishtanos. We shouldn't think that our nature is fixed in some way. Ki kol inyan afshar lishtanos minato v'lara, v'lara l'to. V'akol b'chiyaso u'v'avur zeh inyan zacharnu. Good. So I think that's what we need from here. We're going to now turn to the Mor Nevuchim. And again, I gave you, starting from part 2, chapter 28. But the question is, where should we really start to give us enough time? I'm going to say, let's start from page 9. Could be that we're going to have to go back to some of the stuff that we skipped. So let's start from page 9 where it's underlined. I, however, said that no prophet ever announced a permanent change of any of its properties, I intended to accept miracles. For although the rod was turned into a serpent, the water into a blood, the pure and noble hand into a leprous one, without the existence of any natural cause that could affect these or similar phenomena, these changes were not permanent. They have not become a physical property. Meaning to say, nisim are temporary aberrations. On the contrary, the universe, since it continues its regular course. This is my opinion. This should be our belief. Our sages, however, now, and this is the idea we saw before, and many such pshakim. And the Rambam writes as well that this is why he thinks that the opinion in Chazal that says that the world is going to be destroyed is wrong. There's a medrash that says the world will last for 6,000 years and then the 7,000th year will be destroyed. He says it doesn't make sense. It's again so many pshakim. Okay, so now he said, so how do nisim work? Nisim are a temporary change. Our sages, however, said a very strange thing as regards also natural. Now, the Medrash Kohelas, as regards miracles, sorry. So he's about to quote the Medrash Kohelas, the same Medrash Kohelas that he referred to in Shmona Prakim, which says that Nisim were built into Teva. They are found in Medrash Kohelas, namely that the miracles are to some extent also natural. For they say, when God created the universe with its present physical properties, he made it part of these properties that they should produce certain miracles at certain times. And the sun and the sign of the prophet consisted in the fact that God told him to declare when a certain thing will take place. But the thing itself was affected according to the laws of nature. In other words, this theory that he had in Pirkei Avos, and that the Nisim were built into Teva. Those are the things that were created in the Mishmashos and the like. It is really, now, so even though he liked this earlier in his life, right, this is the theory he presented in Pirshim Shnais, which was written when he was younger, here he refers to it as a very strange theory. So it seems like he's changed his mind about that. If this is really the meaning of the passage, it referred to a testify to the greatness of the author. So if that's what Chazal meant, it shows you how brilliant they are. He doesn't think it's right, really, but it does show you how sensitive Chazal were to this problem. And shows that he held it to be impossible that there should be a change in the laws of nature. And that's why else would Chazal have said that Nisim are built into nature, Teva, or a change in the will of God as regards physical property of things, after they have been established. He therefore assumes, for example, that God gave the water and the property joined together, flowing downwards direction and separating only at the time that the magicians were drowned, and only in a particular place. I've already pointed out to you that the source of this passage, and it all, only tends to oppose the hypothesis of a new creation. It is said there, okay, so now I'm going to quote the Medrash, I'll just read in Hebrew, Rabbi Yochanan, Tanayim Hisnach HaShparach Im Hayam, Shei Nikra Lefnei Yisrael, Hadahi Vayashav Hayam Lefnos Boker Le'esano, Rabbi Yirmiyah Ben Elazar, Lo Im Hayam Bilvad Hisnach HaShparach Hu, Elim Kol Ma Shenivra B'Sheish Yismei B'Reishis, Hadahi Ani Yadai Natu Shamayim V'Chot Tzva'am Tzivisi, Tzivisi Asayam Shikra Asaor, Shelo Tazik Lechanan Yisrael Lazariah, as Arayos, Shelo Yazuku L'Daniel, as Hadag, Sheaki Esayona, etc. And this, by the way, of course, relates to the Rambam's theory as well, that even B'Mos HaMashiach, nature will not change.
So would the Rambam say, like Hanukkah, you say, Shasa Nisim?
Mm-hmm. Well, according to the first pshat, yeah, it would mean that, I guess, it was built into nature, and according to the second pshat, which he prefers in the Mor Nevuchim, no, that it was a temporary aberration. So just we'll read again from page 10. We've already clearly stated our opinion that we agree with Aristotle on half of his theory, for we believe that the universe remains perpetually with the same properties with which the Creator endowed it, and that none of these will ever be changed except by way of miracle in some individual instances. In other words, Aristotle was right that there's such a thing as nature, but he was wrong because sometimes there will be Nisim. And although the Creator has the power to change the whole universe, to annihilate, to remove any of its properties. In other words, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu generally doesn't do miracles is not because he lacks the power. The universe had, however, at a beginning and a commencement, for when nothing was as yet in existence except God, his wisdom decreed that the universe be brought into existence at a certain time, and it should not be annihilated or changed as regards to any of its properties, except in some instances. Some of these are known to us, while others belong to the future and are therefore unknown to us. And he quotes a number of psukim that support this idea. The idea is also repeated in his Egeres Tcheis HaMesim, which I put at the bottom, very, very end. Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Beis is where he says this point about Yemos HaMashiach, and in the Egeres Tcheis HaMesim he writes, Akvar Noda Shanachm Nivrach Ma'od Mashinoi Seyed Rashis, Amnam Yitta, Kol Misha Yitta, Mimisha Kadam, O Yisacher, Lios Mivilti, Mavdilim, Bein Hanyanim, Anogim, Minhag Mofes, Vehem Asher, Lo Yamdu Klav, Lo Yiskai Muv, Amnam, Hayumik Nehat Zorach, O Ames Nivor. So Nisim did happen, but there was a need for them, like to save the Jews from being killed by the Egyptians, or to show the truth of Nivuah. Uveina in Yanim Hativim, Anim Shabhim Tamid Shahim in Agosha Olam, Ashevaru Zal Vyomur Tamid, Olam Kminago Noheg, the Amru in Mavin Rayami Maisanisim, Amr Shlomo, Kikola Shaya Salohim, Hu Ya Yolam Allah Ain Losif Mimenu Ain Lohosif, Umimenu Ain Lagroa. Hine Kvaris Bar, Shanyanim Hativim, Nim Shahim Tamid Al Minhagam, Minhagayam, the Kvarbi Arnu Gam Ze, the Morvuchim. Good. So that's Rambam's idea. So what's the Ramban's kasha? So we understand the Ramban's kasha. The Ramban's kasha is, how do we account for things like the promises in the Torah of prosperity, rain, if the Jewish people behave? We could say that that too was part of the Hisnan Maisa Bereshis. We could say that God built into the laws of nature the idea that tefillah will be effective and that truma will cause early death and that mitzvos will bring rain. Is that the answer? Or is it that these two constitute temporary aberrations? So that's the question. That's what the Ramban is troubled by in the Rambam's position. The Ramban is not troubled by the idea that tzaddikim will have more hashgacha than others. But this is what bothered him.
The Ramban was talking about the Rambam's first or second version?
Both,
or...
I think. In other words, either one poses has the same problem. In the first one, it's hard to imagine that there's a, you know, it's one thing to say there's a dozen exceptions, but to say that every time I mispalo, that's built in, that's an exception. That was hisna miseracious, and the second approach also sounds like they're temporary, they're rare, and the like. So I think both of their problems, again, the Ramban doesn't spell this out, but it sounds that's what Levi Yitzchak was pointing out. I think he's right. That's really what was troubling the Ramban. Okay, so that being the case, we need to look for an answer. So now I'm going to read to you, and as I said, I'm reading it together. I haven't read it yet, what Rav Shalat says about this question. I didn't even make copies, so I'm sorry. I just printed it.
Rav Shalat?
Rav Shalat, this is his Hakdamos. It's in his Hakdamos. It's page Kuf Samach Zayin at the bottom, I'm starting from. So, again, how could it be that the events of life are affected by things like Torah and mitzvos if the world is governed by nature? So, again, he notes that the Rambam doesn't explicitly address this, but he said he's Romez Eleha Bakdamat HaMishnah Piska Zayin. So that wasn't this Hakdama, that was, I think, Hakdamat HaMishnah. B'dabro Al Ha'armon Shenivneh Okerem Shenita Al Yidei Ish Ashir V'Sachal Shematalatam Hamititi Shapam Inatzel Al Yadam Ish Chasid. So some wise person, this is a mashal, plants a vineyard or an orchard so that one day
the rich person,
so that one day somebody will be saved by it. They'll be able to sit in its shade. Sheyachsev etzel ha'armon. And we protect it. O yishta miyayin ha'karen, or drink from the wine. Harambam mesayim sham, v'kach hein hanagot Hashem, itpa'er v'yitromim, v'chachmato asher ya'avo sheyabed behen ha'teva. Eitzog mirachok emunah uman. So what does this mean? Sheyavo shibud ha'teva. What's the shibud ha'teva? So et ha'tshuva motzim anu b'ma'amar tchiyat ha'meitim b'piska sh'arambam me'id eleha ki hi ikar chidush v'to'elet sh'b'ma'amar. Harambam medaber sham al musag ha'nes ha'galoi ha'meshaded et ma'arachot ha'teva. Ve'achar kach hu mazkir et yi'udei ha'torah im tishmu'u v'im lo tishmu'u. Okay, so we're about to read from the Rambam's Igeres Tchiyas HaMeisim, where he answers this question. And again, he's trying to explain, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meshabed HaTeva? V'zot gamkein to'elet gdola, v'tzoni lomar, heyot hashmi'a mitakenet inyanei olamam, v'hameri mafsidam, v'kfar zachar b'torah, shu mofet matmid b'dorot, v'tzoni lomar, tikun ha'inanim im ha'avodah, והפסדם עם המרי. אמר, והיו בחלאות ולמופת וזרחה עד עולם, ומפני זה אמרו, אין מזל לישראל, רצונם לומר, שתיקונם והפסדם אינו לסיבה טבעית, ולא על מנהג המציאות, אלא נתלה בעבודה ובמרי. וזה אות יותר גדול מכל אות. וזה העניין בעצמו, הוא המכוון גם כן באמרו בייחוד האומה, אשר חילק השם אלוקיך, אשר חלק השם אלוקיך אותם לכל העמים, ואתכם לקח השם. רצה לומר, שענייניהם אינם נוהגים מנהג ענייני שערומות, אבל יחדם בזה המופת הגדול, שיהיה פעולותיהם תמיד נקשרות בתיקון ענייניהם או בהפסידם. So it actually sounds like the Rambam might be saying exactly what we suggested before, at least for B'nai Yisrael, which is, yes, there's, in a sense, a different laws of, there are laws of nature, and the Jewish people are governed by a different set of laws that takes into account things like righteousness. Yishkan Efo, this is now we're Shelat again talking, and then he's going to quote some more from the Rambam. Tofa'a Nisit Af Al Pi Sheshonahi Be'ofya Min HaNes HaGaloi. So this is what we could call a Nes Nistar. This isn't necessarily what other thinkers think of is a Nes Nistar, but this is what the Rambam thinks is a Nes Nistar. He doesn't use those words. A Nes Galoi is breaking the laws of nature. This is Hanhaga. This is, if you wish, we would call it supernatural Hanhaga, but it's not a Nes, because it's built in. Hapolech le'im kol et chukei ha-teva. Hanhagat Hashem et, and that's, I guess, what he's suggesting, what the Rambam meant when he said shiabud ha-teva, that Hanhagat Hashem et inyanei ha-adam o ha-am lefi zechuyotav v'cholotav hi b'vchinat nes nistar she'no nikar klapei chutz ketofa'a al tivit. So these things are not noticeably supernatural. In other words, when the Jewish people are righteous and then they're prosperous, it's not noticeably supernatural. Nobody could point, maybe it's, you know, just good crops, good weather. V'im zot yesh bo mishum shiyavud ha-teva. V'kach magdir Rambam et ha-havdel bein shnei sugi ha-nisim bein shech v'rav sham. Okay, now quoting again from the Rambam. Sh'haniflaot pamim shiyu b'inyanim hanimnaim b'teva kehipuch ha-mata l'nachash. U'pamim yeh b'inyanim ha-efshariyim b'teva kevo ha-arbe v'abarad v'ha-dever b'mitzrayim. Ki miderech elu ha-dvarim shiyiru b'kitzat ha-itim u'kitzat mekomah. This is fascinating that he included those examples. Ukibrachot v'akvalot ha-nizkarot b'torah, ki kol achad mehem efshar bo b'chol ha'aretz b'chol zman. In other words, all the promises of the Torah, these are things that could happen anyway, right? Like rain and dew. V'hem kulam makat mikat ha-efshar k'shistakel adam b'hem. Right? Locusts happen all over the place. V'amnam yeh el anyanim ha-efshariyim uftim. Be'achad mishlosha tna'im. O b'chulam, ha'achad mehem, bo ha'efshar, hu be'et ha'ma'ar nabi ha'efshar. Okay, we're already running late, so we'll stop over here. But I didn't quite finish what he has to say, but about halfway there. But this is a fascinating solution. If this is what the Rambam intended, so I think the Rambam would not necessarily be bothered by it. So I don't know if it is a different approach than the Rambam himself takes. So this is a fascinating idea. And it's also fascinating that to look for other places where the Rambam does say it. So he might be merames to it in the Peirush HaMishnayos. He later, I see, quotes from the famous letter to Avad Yager. So we'll see. We'll see.
Could we see one of those?
Sure. This is all the same thing.
Oh, was it what you gave?
No, it's not what I gave you, because I just discovered this minutes before the shiur. I think we're done for this.